Now, when Joseph's armed guard caught up with these people a short distance from the city where he lived, he stopped them and said, "Why have you stolen the silver beaker out of which my master prophesies?" So they said, "We've not stolen anything. We wouldn't steal the knives and forks from your table. You've been kind enough to be host to us. We wouldn't steal that." But he said, "I want to see. And by whom I find it, one of you has taken it, by whom I find it, he shall be my slave forevermore." So they said, "Here, come and start." So the eldest one led his sack down from the ass, which was carrying it, and looked in it, and there was only his money in there. They put back his money in there again, you see. They did that every time. Joseph did that every time. So the silver beaker wasn't there. So they went to the next one then and looked at his sack, and he let it down to the ground and it wasn't there. Then he went to the next one, and right down to the 11th one, right down to Benjamin, and there, sure enough, as they opened the string on the top of the sack, there was this silver beaker by which Joseph did his prophesying. You see, they had beakers to drink the wine they drank before they prophesied. And when they found that, they all put their faces down to the ground and wept. So they turned back to the city. And when they got there, they found, remarkably enough, that Joseph was still at home. He hadn't gone back to work that afternoon. So they went into Joseph and spoke to him, and Joseph said, "Now look, you can't do that sort of thing with me. Don't you know that I can divine, that I have a prophetic gift? And I know when you've stolen anything in my house, and I know who did it. Don't you think that I knew that before you did it?" So they said, "Oh yes, sir, you're just as a king here, aren't you? Of course you know. But we're very, very sorry, but we'll all be your slaves forevermore now." So Joseph said, "No, you won't. I'm not an unjust man. I only want the one who stole it." And who was that? Little Benjamin it was who'd stolen it. Or they'd put it into his, they'd planted it in his sack, you see. So they settled down to be their slaves, be the slaves of Joseph for all their life. But Simeon, I think it was Simeon, one of them anyway, said to Joseph, "Can I speak to you privately for a minute, sir?" And he didn't know it was Joseph, of course. So Joseph said, "Sure, I'm a just man. What do you want to talk to me about?" "Well," he said, "you must understand that my father is very old, and he's very devoted to Benjamin, who's done this stealing in your house. And if I go back, I'm surety for Benjamin, and if I don't bring him back, he has the authority to kill my children there, because I'm surety and I've lost Benjamin. So I can't go back, because if I go back and my father sees that Benjamin isn't there, he'll die on the spot. Because he scarcely survived the loss of Joseph when the lion ate him in the wilderness." And he knew very well no lion had ever eaten him, you see. So Joseph was very moved at this. So he said, "I can't go back and see the calamity which will befall my father if Benjamin is not with us." So when Joseph heard that, he couldn't hold back any longer. He had to weep because he saw his brothers so terrified and so repentant of the evil that they'd done him. So he went out and washed himself again and came back in and said, "I am Joseph, the brother that you sold into the land of Egypt 13 years ago. I am Joseph." When they heard that, they were absolutely petrified, because they'd done it all, and they'd been saying all the time they were honest people, and they were dirty little robbers, you see. They sold their brother for money and sent the coat back to their father covered in goat's blood. You see, he didn't have any chemistry today, because they had found out it was goat's blood and not human blood long ago, but they didn't know that. And he thought it was human blood, thought it was Joseph's blood all over the coat. That wouldn't happen today, because you'd know. Anyway, he went out of the room and came back and said, "I'm Joseph." Now, they all backed away from him, because they were terrified. He had the power of Pharaoh, you see, he got Pharaoh's ring on, so he could do anything with these people. So when they backed away from him, Joseph said, "Don't be afraid of me now, because God sold me into Egypt to preserve the lives of many people here, to preserve your life in Canaan, because you've got no food, and you'd be dead if you weren't any corn in Egypt. He sent me here. Now, I'm not cross with you at all. I forgive you all that. It was wrong of you to do it, but God has used your doing wrong to do right." That's how God always does things. When people do wrong, he uses it to make it do right. But he doesn't excuse them for doing wrong. If you lie, he doesn't excuse you for that. So they all had a good weep that things had turned out for good, although they had meant it for bad. You see, Joseph's brothers weren't very kind to him, were they? Not really. Although it all turned out well. And that's how God does things. He uses the evil of men to do good. How kind of him to do that, isn't it? So they wept so loudly when Joseph made himself known to his brothers that the Egyptians heard it. The Egyptians in the next room were listening. What are these Hebrews doing now next door? And so Pharaoh sent word to Joseph. He sent a servant along and said, "Look, I am glad I hear that your brothers have come." So Joseph said, "Yes, they have, and I'm very glad too." So Joseph said, "Is my father still alive?" And they said, "He's still alive, but he's very old and frail. He can't do many journeys anymore because he's old." So Pharaoh said, okay, we'll send you wagons and horses and asses and mules down to pick him up, and all the furniture that he wants to take with him, and all the food that he'll need forevermore, and he can come down to live in Egypt, and I'll give him the best part of the country, because I've got Pharaoh's ring on me, you see, and I can say that part of the country, which is Goshen, will belong to you, and I'll give you more land than you've got in Canaan, and you can have all the food you like, and you'll be with Joseph." And so when they heard that Joseph promised them that, and he had the power of Pharaoh, they said, they cheered up then immensely. So they came nearer to Joseph, and Joseph, "Come up to me," he said, "let me kiss you all, let me give you a hug." So he did. And you know, they were terrified of him, because he was in the place of Pharaoh. He had the strength of Pharaoh, and he hugged them all. Think of that. Now, Joseph called his armed guard again and said, "Look, put every man's money back into his sack, and fill their sacks up full as much as they can carry with corn, and get as many wagons with broad rims on them, you know, to go through the desert so that you can go on sand. Get as many as you like to get the whole 70 of them, about 70 of them in Canaan, bring them down to me, and I'll transport them as far as Goshen." So they did. And Joseph took them aside and said, "Now look here, you're going back with all these wagons and horses and asses and she-ashes and asses and mules. Go and greet my father and tell him that Joseph is still alive. And Joseph is waiting for you, and he's given you the whole of the land of Goshen to live in. So don't worry about any furniture you may have to leave behind, or any land you may have to leave behind. It isn't worth it. I'll give you 10 times more down here." So they set off with all this corn absolutely loaded onto wagons, and Joseph sent a little train of caravans of special gifts of corn and honey and all the good things of Egypt down to his father as a special present. And he gave Benjamin 10 times as much as he gave the other, because he was his full brother, you see. And when they got back to their father, poor old Jacob, you know, he couldn't see very well, and he was old and frail. And when they said, "Dad, cheer up, Joseph is still alive," and do you know what the old man did? He fainted. because he knew his children had had him on a string. You know what to have on a string means, don't you? That they told him lies about Joseph being torn up by an old... And it all came out that he dipped Joseph's clothes in goat's blood to make his father think he was dead. And there was no hope for him at all. So it all came out then. So, the old man then cheered up and he said, "Well, look, what are all these wagons you've got here? And what's this special little caravan here with special corn and honey and all the rest of it on board?" "Oh," they said, "that's a special gift from your son, Joseph, to his father, to make him come and to prove that he's really alive. He sent a little gift along to you." So when he saw the wagons and the gift which Joseph, and a little note which Joseph had written, you see, to his father, so that... he would know that it really was Joseph. You see, the old man had been so often lied to by his children that he didn't believe a word they said anymore. If you lie too often, people don't believe you, do they? And he couldn't believe them because they'd been such vagabonds to tell them that we found this coat of many clothes under a bush, probably a wild animal has eaten him. I mean, the father then realized that that wasn't Joseph's blood that was on the clothes, but it was what they'd done to the clothes to make the father think he was dead. So it all came out that they were a bunch of liars. And the old man was so happy and so upset at the same time that Joseph really was alive. He said, "Look, I want to see Joseph before I die." And the Lord said to him, "Jacob," Israel was his name then, "Jacob, if you go down to Egypt, don't fear to go down, because your son is there and he's prepared the way for you." That's why Jesus is always compared in the Holy Scripture to Joseph, because Joseph did the same thing that Jesus has done. He's gone before us to prepare a way for us when we die, hasn't he? And to prepare a way for us here in this world. That's what he does. So he mounted the wagons, and his wives and his children and all that they could take with them, they mounted onto these wagons from Egypt with the Egyptian horses in front of them, and they started the long, long journey down to Egypt. And when they came, they were brought straight into Joseph, and Joseph, of course, hugged his father and said how glad he was that they should meet. And it says that when Joseph died as an old, old man, they gave him the promise that they wouldn't leave his body in Egypt, but they'd take his mummified bones back to the land of Canaan, which was promised to them by the Lord himself. And so they did. And Joseph was present when his father died. And you know what they do to dead people when they die, don't you? Sometimes they die with their eyes open. And if you get them just after they've died and put your fingers on their eyes, you can close them so that when they're dead, their eyes stay closed so that they look as though they're sleeping. So Joseph was the man who closed his father's eyes, Jacob's eyes, when he died, and so fulfilled all the promises. Now, that's the story of Joseph and his brothers. You see, all the evil that God let happen to Joseph, 13 years, wasn't it, as a slave, was done to make Joseph of a strong enough character to rule over all Egypt and not to be ruined by the material goods he had. Because many people have so many material goods, you know, it ruins their character. And Joseph didn't have any danger of that when he was in the dungeon for so long, was he? Did he? So that's the story I wanted to tell you guys this afternoon, that God uses the evil things which happen to us to prepare us for a high office. Now, have you ever thought what God is preparing us for, you and me? He lets all sorts of things happen to us that we don't like, doesn't he? Why does he do it? He does it to prepare us not to rule over Egypt like Joseph was prepared to rule over Egypt and to steel up and strengthen his character. He does it to make us rule with Christ forever and ever in his kingdom when he comes back to rule over the earth. We shall be at his right side. As Joseph said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh trusts me that I can look after his kingdom for us. So what God is doing with us in this life is preparing us for ruling and reigning with Jesus when he comes to take over his kingdom. That's the purpose of these Old Testament stories, to tell us that in an allegorical form. You know what an allegory means, don't you? Allegorical form. You do know. Well, it's in the form of a story to tell you a particular message. It's a sort of a sign language to tell you a particular message. As Joseph was prepared to rule over all Egypt, so we are being prepared, if we love the Lord Jesus, by all the things that happen to us, to get a character which is strong enough to take on the office of ruling over the world, the cosmos, with Jesus. When Jesus comes back as king, we shall be at his right hand, as Joseph was at the right hand of Pharaoh when he was king of Egypt. Okay? Will that satisfy you? Any questions? I've said too much and haven't asked you any questions. Any questions you'd like to ask? Did you get the meaning of the story?
Yeah.
You have. So you see, all the nasty things that happen to us are meant to work together for good to those that love God, to prepare us to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. That's the purpose of all the awful things that do happen to us. So if there's a purpose behind it, you can stand it, can't you? If a dentist were to come to me and say, look, I've just brought a new drill, might I try it out on your teeth? What would I say to him? No, you don't. If you do, I'll make a lawsuit against you. But if he says, might I try out my new drill on removing the holes in your decaying teeth, I say, go ahead, boys, do it. Because that has a sense, that has sense in it, doesn't it? But I wouldn't allow him to do it just to try it out. Neither would you?
No.
No. But if you've got a hole in your tooth, decay, you'd say, go ahead, I'll be happy, wouldn't you? And you see, Jesus was drilling out the weak parts in Joseph. And Joseph, when he started his life in captivity in Egypt, he was rather a weak character, you know. He told on his brothers, you see, and he kept telling his father all the evil things, says the scriptures, that his brothers did. So he was a tale bearer, and that isn't good. You see, when the brothers came to him and fell down before him to worship, he never said a word who he was, so he could keep a secret then, couldn't he? He couldn't keep secrets beforehand, so he had to learn to do that. And it was the black dungeon and Potiphar's wife that did that. They bored out all the decayed parts of his teeth and his character, you see, and made him fit to be a king. So we're being made fit to be kings, aren't we, if we love the Lord Jesus? So it all has a purpose, yes.
When they're selling slaves, if they didn't have like good teeth like Joseph, would the people still not buy them just because they didn't have good teeth?
Well, if they had bad teeth, they might have bad health, you see. You get infections under your teeth. And if they had bad health, they didn't want to have another patient in bed to look after. They wanted a servant there to serve them. So they thought they wouldn't be much worth much money if they had bad teeth. Or anything else that was bad. Say they had bad corns on their feet. That would deduct 2 shekels off their price, you see. Any more? What about you? All clear as mud.
Clear as mud, mud isn't clear.
That's just what I meant. Just what I meant, exactly. What about the boys? What about the big boys? All nice and clear. You remember the story of Joseph now, won't you? Won't forget.
You put in everything that need be.
I hope I have. I sometimes forget, you know, and then I look at my wife and I can see a question mark in her eyes, and then I think of it, what I should think of. But that's how we work, you see. I always have her in the neighborhood so that I can see that look on her face which says, you've forgotten something. And I know what it is.